Hey, I hope you're already having a terrific Tuesday. I'm having a terrific Tuesday in it because it is Rumor Innuendo Tuesday. And I'm here, guess what? With Robert Karpeles, former WWE writer, WWE creative underscore ish. And I'm Dominic D'Angelo. Robert, happy Tuesday to you.
Happy Tuesday, Dom. Was like 40% sure I didn't know what day today was. It's just one of those days. It's one of those Tuesdays. There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on here. We got a whole bunch of Raw to talk about. I do want to start with a little bit of fun rumor and innuendo breaking news. Next Monday, so 6 days from today, how is my math? We will be joined by the legendary ECW star, Blue Meanie. He is going to be on here. I know we talked about it, teased it yesterday that he was going to be on, pinned down a date. So next Monday, Meanie's going to be here with us, chopping it up. And there's some folks chopping it up with us now in the chat. Give a quick shout out to Christopher Zanto. Good morning, party people. Let's get ready to rumor with a bunch of ours, which looks like the Michael Buffer stuff. And Chris, I ain't getting sued this early in the day, so nice try. Antonio Santos, afternoon, gents. Jennifer V, looking forward to today's episode. Honestly, Jennifer, we're looking forward to every episode of Rumor and Innuendo. But today, I haven't looked at the runchin yet. This might be the day we get to Billy and the CW. But Dom, where are we starting with?
It could be, Robert, as you know, I forgot to add something to the rundown. So maybe
add a couple things. It's like you're talking about stuff. I'm looking at it. It's not there. We're fine. We got a lot. We're tweaking it. It's kind of like Raw. My biggest takeaway from Raw this week and the last several weeks is the inventive nature in a post-Kevin Dunn era with some of the shots. Yes. There was the Sami Zayn shot where they followed him straight through the back through Gorilla. There was the following R-Truth and Miz down to the ring. As a production guy, I love the unique inventive risks that they are taking, which never would have happened during the Kevin Dunn era. So right off the bat, man, we're starting positive. This feels weird for me on a Tuesday.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, obviously we're covering Raw. We're going to talk a little bit of Booker T. He had some comments about his CM Punk comments earlier. Tony Khan, is he still really mad at Jungle Boy Jack Perry? Plus, hey, WWE versus TNA, it's going to go down. WrestleMania weekend, a little bit more on that. But yes, let's start with Raw. Robert, I thought it was a very good episode. Cody segment was the big highlight, I would say, because of all the news it's going to make. And it was full of expletives, like The Rock had on Friday night. I did happen to capture some of the quotes that Cody had. He says, Rock, I don't think you're a heel. I think you're an a-hole. Don't think for 2 seconds that this locker room...
He didn't say a-hole. We're saying a-hole because, look, we are a family-friendly program before and after the Blue Chew ad. But, you know, Cody going out there on cable TV, and even though it's PG, he's like, I'm gonna push the envelope a little bit. And yeah, he's full on swearing there. He's gonna get his mouth washed out by Mama Rhodes.
Well, she isn't afraid of The Rock, as Cody said, because she beat up an undercover cop at a Willie Nelson concert. And plus, does The Rock have Big Dwayne energy, or is it just LDS, also known as Little Richard Syndrome?
Again, save it for Blue Chew. Save it for the Blue Chew ad.
So yeah, plenty of stuff. He name dropped Brian Gewirtz, which we'll talk about too in a second here. But Robert, what did you think of this segment? Was it too much pulling back the curtain here, or was it just right and appropriate for what we're kind of expecting from wrestling these days?
So it did toe that line of going perhaps a bit too far of where we needed to go. I think there's so many good elements to the story that you don't need to get super insidery. Him making fun of The Rock for using the word heel and calling himself a heel, when in reality it's like, no, you're not a heel. You're an a-hole. You've been crying behind the scenes. You know, yes, I cried on Raw last week, but you're, you know, bitching and moaning and complaining in the back that we took away your WrestleMania match for mine. You're a terrible salesman, which if you've seen Young Rock or the XFL or Black Adam, you kind of get where he's going with there. The little D syndrome thing, it was cutesy and fine, but I think we talked about it yesterday. This needed to be a more serious, straightforward, like, you've threatened to break me in front of my mom and hand her a belt covered in blood. I was expecting him to spit a little bit more fire, a little bit more vitriol, but it seemed to work. Crowd was certainly behind him in Raleigh. The references to Pharaoh, his dog, fine, bringing up Brian, which that one surprised me a little bit. It's always weird to like, oh yeah, no, we have writers, but we don't have writers. And pointing out the final boss thing, which my WrestleRoast co-host, Mike Lawrence, it's like an itch in his brain when he hears Rock say he's the final boss, because he's like, well, technically, final boss is the last guy you fight, and Rock is the next to last guy you fight. So just putting it out there, Mike, we feel your pain. And then the promo took an interesting turn when Paul Heyman came out, Dom.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it did. Paul Heyman came out, wanted to stay on the apron. Paul Heyman's very good at kind of like just being less like weaselly, humble, quote unquote, acting kind of heel and stuff like that, where it's all that stuff or meek. And then, he basically told Cody, hey, the ring is going to be just yours and Roman's coming up. No bloodline. I can promise you that. But you can't bring anybody to the ring with you on SmackDown. And it was good stuff. I thought it was a good follow-up and kind of just let, hey, I want to watch SmackDown, you know?
It drove people to SmackDown. We said yesterday there were goals Cody needed to have. Number one, he needed to address The Rock here so he could address Roman Reigns on SmackDown. Number two, he needed to test the waters of how the audience was going to respond to him. If they were going to say that Rock concert was so funny, to hell with you, Rock, to hell with you, Cody, we're all behind The Rock again. That wasn't the case. That had to be a relief. He looked like a big star. It was a smart decision to utilize Cody earlier in the show to make the save for Jey Uso, so that the first time you see him, he's doing something heroic. Mm-hmm. It's reminding the audience, reminding the crowd, this is the guy you're cheering for. Yes, he's dressed like a train conductor, but that doesn't matter. We are all in favor of the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes. So from that perspective, he didn't embarrass himself. He didn't go too cartoony. It's a little, you know, peek behind the curtain, but not as bad as we kind of feared otherwise.
Can I say this too, Robert? I think
no, you can't.
Okay. Yeah, that. I think the bringing up the family aspect is one thing, and making it personal is good. I kind of like the aspect of Cody pivoting a little bit from it and being like, "Well, Michelle's not afraid of you. Let me make that perfectly clear," and everything like that. And then on top of it, because I think a lot of the times a good tendency in a lot of wrestling these days is to bring up family and make personal matters, like you've seen that with the Chad Gable bringing up his daughter crying, and you know, it's happened over and over on both different promotions and stuff like that, where it's all right, well, come on, I just want to see two people fight sometimes. So I think it does incorporate the family aspect, but I think Cody kind of put the right amount of shell over it, if you will, you know, I think too.
Yeah, so. No, he you gotta pull it back a little bit as far as it relates to the other members of the family, because then you lose focus. The focus is Cody wants to win the title. In order to win that title, he has to clear the deck of Rock and the rest of the bloodline. That in and of itself is the story.
Yeah.
Insulting moms, like when he brought up The Rock's mom, it felt very like Anchorman, like I'm going to take her out for a nice seafood dinner and never call her again.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but I'm still waiting for him to invoke that Rock's grandma's going in the Hall of Fame because he's pulling the strings, but we've still got a couple weeks to go, Dom.
That one's still in the holster for sure. Another aspect, I think it was cool, as calling Rock Roman's side chick. I thought that was a good comeback line in regards to what The Rock's been saying about Cody, and kind of just taking another dig at him there too. So I thought that was pretty good. I wanted to get your thoughts on another world title segment between Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre. Spotlight Junkie. Seth Rollins did the AA Anonymous kind of thing. Like, I am a Spotlight Junkie. I wonder if he did get that from Road Dogg. I'll have to ask him about that. But I thought, what did you think of this? I really think Drew's still cooking pretty hot. I'm curious what you think about Seth's delivery and Seth's execution of this segment.
I hate to be a broken record, but I just don't like this Seth Rollins presentation. It feels inauthentic in a way that Drew's presentation feels authentic. The, you know, I'm Seth Rollins and I'm a, you know, junkie. Like, come on, man. It's funny because you're really starting to see this self-righteous hypocrite Drew McIntyre character, this Bret Hart 97 to pretty much the present version of him, because he's bemoaning Seth Rollins for not focusing on the world title match. He said, you're a spotlight junkie. You're worried about the bloodline. You're worried about Roman. You're worried about Rock. While at the same time, Drew keeps invoking CM Punk. So his lack of self-awareness as a character, winning because of outside interference, winning because of bloodline outside interference, when that was all he complained about for so long, is such a fun heel tweak on the Drew McIntyre character. But I just think Seth is sputtering out a little bit to the point where I really want to see him lose the title at Mania. I think he's outlived his usefulness on this current run as the workhorse champ. Do you agree?
I agree. I think whether he turns heel at WrestleMania or they do something with him and he's out, I want him to kind of go away for just a little bit and hit the reset button, I think. And kind of, you know, we've seen different personas of Seth here, you know, the visionary and the messiah and the architect, what have you. But like, I think he's got to really find more of something that him, like, that he's been able to channel in certain moments during this whole Roman, Cody, Rock kind of thing, where he can take these opportunities to shine and there's some compellingness behind him. So, yeah, I'm with you, Robert. I think he should. I think Drew should definitely win absolutely at WrestleMania, and it's a reset button for Seth Rollins.
Look, we want to see Seth Rollins hit the reset button. And guys, if you want to hit the reset button in the bedroom and turn this thing around, then may we recommend our friends at Blue Chew, because this episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Guys, let's talk about sex. Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part? It's all done online. No visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. When you pop these, you're going to put your hand up and say, I am a Blue Chew junkie and proud of it, because I've hit the reset button. I am putting on 5-star matches every day, because guys, Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free. When you use our promo code Rumor at checkout, just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code Rumor to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this episode of Rumor and Innuendo. Right here, Antonio Santos says, Rumor and Innuendo is that you can tell time with Blue Chew. Love it. That's better than what I was saying right there, Mr. Sanders. We're going to put you on the payroll. I mean, we're not, but we could put you on payroll. But what you can do for you, Mr. Santos, go to BlueChew.com, put that promo code Rumor, getting it for free, $5 shipping. But what we've got a whole lot more Raw to talk about, Dom.
We sure do. There's a lot to cover here. I was going to start with Sami Zayn, but I kind of did want to go to the main event, actually, the last woman standing match between Becky Lynch and Nia Jax. I was really impressed with this. And then the aspect of the closing segment, their closing moments, I will say, between Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch really set the tone for everything. I think it still made Nia look strong because of that finish that it was. Becky leg dropping off the top of the ladder through the commentator's table was a great finish. Robert, what did you think of that ending match and then the stare down between Rhea and Becky?
It did everything we said it needed to accomplish. You needed to put Becky Lynch out there with Nia to put to bed that storyline between them. You had the Liv Morgan moment beforehand to acknowledge, hey, Liv is still here, but she's going to let them have their own fight. This was Nia going in there and saying, I'm going to win. I'm going to incapacitate you. I'm going to take your spot at WrestleMania. And when she failed to do all of that, we now no longer need to worry about a potential triple threat match. Mm-hmm. And as soon as it was over, you got that stare down. We said how important that stare down was going to be, because there is not a personal story between Rhea and Becky. It is champion. It is challenger. It is the meat and potatoes of what makes wrestling work. And when you had Becky Lynch, who just conquered beating this this much larger, much stronger opponent in a last woman standing match, and she's facing off with Rhea Ripley, it's suddenly realizing now you are facing that final boss.
Right, right. And it's like, you think about all the elements that are outside of Becky right now, outside of wrestling, is like visiting the White House, that picture with Joe Biden, the book coming out, all these other cool elements, becoming a United States citizen, she announced afterwards too. Just a lot of neat stuff going on for Becky, and it's really elevating the company, really elevating her star power. And so this, her going up against Rhea, even just makes more sense in Philadelphia. So it's a really cool way to set it up. I really enjoyed that match. Really thought it was a great, well-executed match. So,
and I think there's no tables left in the greater Raleigh area.
That's correct. That's correct. Speaking of, I'll add this real quick too, before I talk a little bit more about Raw, but Matt Hardy is reportedly at Raw in it as a fan in the crowd with Reba and his family. So pretty interesting little note there, Robert.
Our fellow ad-free show brethren. By the way, quick shout out to those of you watching us on ad-free shows on YouTube. Take that, Jeff Jarrett.
There you go. Hey, okay. Somebody who wants the Sammy to take that is Chad Gable.
I was going to go, speaking of guys who deserve the Intercontinental title, unlike that damn Jeff Jarrett who keeps bumping us, former Intercontinental champion, Gunther and Sami Zayn and that whole situation.
Yes. Well, okay, let's start with that then, because, they had a contract signing. Gunther looks good in a suit. Sammy and Adam Pearce were all there, and Sammy made his case, what he did. Gunther had his doubts and noted about Chad Gable's thoughts earlier on in the evening when it came to that. And then Sammy fired back and said, look in my eyes, I do want that title, and I'm going to take it from you at WrestleMania. What'd you think of this segment, Robert?
Contract signings go one of two ways. Either you get the contract signing and there's immediate physicality, which I never like, or there's the contract signing of one guy saying, I'm going to win, the other guy saying, nah, you're not. It was a little flat. I think part of it is we saw the apex of the Sami Zayn as the challenger storyline last year at Elimination Chamber. Everything since then has felt somewhat lesser than. Gable is the more interesting wrinkle, because Gable saying, I don't think you're going to win, it now feels less like he's antagonistic towards Sammy and more like he's almost being a genuine coach. So it'll be interesting to see where this ultimately lands. I don't want them to make this a triple threat match. It's like every match now, because of that U.S. title match, I'm worried, is simply going to be a triple threat. I was worried about the Raw women's title match. I'm worried about this. I want to see Sammy and Gunther. You want to see Sammy win. And then when Sammy does win, boom, there's Gable ready to pounce.
See, I'm almost of the mindset, Robert, that I think Sammy should lose at WrestleMania and Gunther should continue on. Just because what you kind of just mentioned, Sammy was already had that motivation and that groundswell behind him last year. It's almost like a reflection of last year. And yeah, it'd be a good payoff, I think, for Sammy when it comes to that and that kind of thing. But it's just like, you almost want to heat somebody new up, I think, to top Gunther and get that Intercontinental title. And so I'm more of the mindset, maybe let's see Sammy not win that title at WrestleMania. And there could be more story to be told with all those guys coming into play afterwards, too.
Yeah, no, we got a lot of runway for speculation for WrestleMania. We still got a couple weeks to go. There's going to be a lot of, hey, who do you think is going to win? I think what's at least interesting in the Sammy Gunther situation is, how is Chad Gable going to play into this? And I like that they didn't just drop Gable. That Gable just lost last week and he was gone. We've seen sometimes where the threads in both companies, they just vanish and you never see a payoff. It feels like we're moving towards a more credible payoff for Chad and a more serious storyline for him. When I love the Alpha Academy stuff, I do want to see him move on to be a much more intense, focused performer.
Yeah, and it also speaks to what's next for somebody like Otis, too, and stuff like that when it comes to all this. Speaking of, the tag team tournament continued. We had Awesome Truth Advance, we had New Day Advance, and we had DIY Advance. Robert, what did you think of the execution of these matches, and did it kind of continue? Hey, it's a little confusing of a tournament, but
not anymore. Raw fixed it, and Cole called it out, which means, guys, they're watching us. They know what's going on here. They're tuning in to Rumor and Innuendo, and they're going, hey, those guys made a good point, because Cole even said, while the SmackDown has their tournament structure, this is a win-and-you're-in situation. So it's a little bit of brand splitty stuff. As Rick Smith says here at the bottom, no math tournament. You yes. Read my mind, man. These guys won. They got their picture in the graphic. They're in. Awesome Truth getting the win over Indus Share by sort of a fluke is fine. I guess we're still protecting Veer. I don't know why. Veer just feels like the greatest running gag that this company has put into effect since, remember years ago they were teasing Emelina was going to debut, and she was going to debut, and she was, and then like nothing ever really happened.
Nothing happened.
Kind of what's going on with Veer. Same thing with Brodus Clay. They're like, we're getting Brodus, and then we get the Funkasaurus.
Yes.
So maybe this ends with Veer dancing, guys. We could get a dancing Veer, or hopefully just no Veer. I'd be happier with that.
He's a great Blue Chew segue, though.
It would have been a great Blue Chew segue, but we're not doing that, man. We've already shilled BlueChew.com, promo code Rumor. But then there was that DIY Creed Brothers match. So the Creed Brothers outfits are atrocious. This light gray, incredibly boring singlet, it does nothing for you when you're watching. And then these four guys just went out there and beat the holy hell out of one another, and it was a delight. I enjoyed every moment of where that match was going. There was intensity, there were unique moves that were being pulled out. It felt like these four guys all desperately wanted to be a part of WrestleMania. They all wanted to win. They understood the stakes, and North Carolina played along. Yeah. They were fired up. They were happy.
It's those two teams. They just already have, you know, had built a resume, obviously DIY, and like the Creed Brothers, I think they got a pretty good, the sky's the limit basically for those guys. But I agree with you. Switch up the outfits a little bit. we can definitely elevate them a little bit more in that regard.
Light gray and blue singlets, which those were the colors of my high school team. So that was what made me ask the
Do you think there's some residual effect then for you with that color combination?
No, I liked my time at Taravella High School. We were the Trojans. And if you think having a mascot that's also a condom mascot was not going to be the way I was going to transition to a Blue Chew ad, you are mistaken. But yeah, I think that was pretty much the meat and potatoes of Raw. I know they set up the Jimmy J match a little further, which I thought was nice. And mm-hmm. also teasing what's going on with Judgment Day and Andrade, but we got a lot of other stuff to talk about, man. So we do. Push forward.
Let's indeed push forward. Booker T, he comes clean about CM Punk and that whole little controversy he caused on his podcast. And speaking on the Hall of Fame podcast of Booker T, also a podcast heat show, mind you.
Yeah. Hey, we're a podcast heat show.
Yes, we are.
So now I have to temper all the mean things I'm about to say to Booker T. Is that what you're saying? Thanks. Well,
this is a news show, so it's you say the news. Okay, so Booker's quote is, I'm trying to entertain my fans because that story, that 40-second story that people wrote, it was clickbait, guys. Did I put it out there? Did I say it? As far as I had a beef, was I going to run up? Yeah, I said it. But I'm entertaining you guys. Entertaining, just playing around. Robert, what do you think of those comments?
So when the story first came out, I said, part of me feels like this is some kind of a work, but it feels like a unilateral work on the part of Booker T, because nothing came out elsewhere. Nobody else was talking about it. A lot of the folks in NXT, when you're in Orlando, you're in that performance center, you just got nothing to do. Gossip spreads quickly. So if there was some sort of confrontation that happened at the PC between Booker T and CM Punk, everybody would have been whispering about it, talking about it. We would have heard about it somewhere. This was a really poor decision on Booker T's part, because Punk is one of those guys who you want him to succeed, you root for him to succeed, but there always seems to be some sort of backstage kerfuffle That's right. I'm using the strong words here. Like Cody, a kerfuffle that comes up and then it sours everything. You're like, oh no, it's only a matter of time until Punk is gone. When people heard about the Booker T, CM Punk situation, they thought, oh no, are we getting the old Punk? Is this going to be, you know, the end of this new fairy tale that we're getting? Instead, nope, just Booker T being an idiot. So I have a feeling somebody at WWE called him up and had some very strong words for the Hall of Famer, mainly, what the hell are you doing? Knock it off, you jackass.
And look, by all accounts, too, it seems like Punk is really putting his best foot forward when it comes to how he's handling himself and incorporating himself backstage with people we've had beef with in the past, things like that. So it's like this one kind of came out of left field initially, and I'm glad to hear that it was just clickbaity BS kind of happened.
But you don't need clickbait sometimes. Sometimes yeah. You just need some good solid rumor and innuendo. And that's why I want to give a quick shout out here. We just passed over 5,000 live viewers right
How
now.
That's
a new benchmark for us here. So happy to see the show continuing to grow, venture into new areas. And speaking of folks growing into new areas, we got a follow up on this Shayna Baszler story from yesterday.
Yes, we do. TNA is still incorporating themselves a little bit with WWE. They're rubbing elbows despite Scott D'Amore being gone. We have Shayna Baszler versus Masha Slamovich coming at Bloodsport 10. Pretty cool match, Robert. If anybody's not seen Masha Slamovich's work, she's very good and really a rising star, I think. So this is a cool crossover between three different promotions. Pretty neat, Robert.
I like it. In terms of the match, I was critical of it yesterday, this idea that Shayna Baszler wrestling not on WWE turf. It feels like a little bit more of the inroads with that WWE and TNA relationship. Masha is, she's fantastic. I don't have any worry that something is going to go awry as long as they just keep it within the fairways and try not to do anything insane at a show called Bloodsport. But yeah, this will be fun to watch and fun to see. When you see one of these talents venturing out to another company, unlike what we're seeing with Goat Boy over in New Japan.
That's correct, Robert. Yes. According to Dave Meltzer, Jungle Boy Jack Perry is still signed with AEW, but they're not on the best kind of terms. Meltzer added on his Wrestling Observer radio show that Tony Khan is still, quote unquote, really mad at Perry over what transpired at AEW All In. The general gist of things is that Perry cost AEW CM Punk, who for his issues in AEW is one of the biggest names in the company had on its roster. With Punk not around, the lion's share of the blame has fallen on the former Jungle Boy. Robert, I mean, I kind of understand where Tony's coming from. I mean, big star, and they kind of just went off the rails there, but that seems like a systematic thing over in AEW sometimes.
It's weird that Jungle Boy is the one who's catching the ire of Tony when it feels like the guys he really should have been mad at would have been Kenny and the Bucks, who are the EVPs. They've been around for a long time. They're mature. They're executives of this company. And they were part of that first brawl out situation. Jungle Boy instigating whatever he did with Punk, doing the glass spot, calling it out into the camera is amateurish and stupid. And invoking that fight with Punk that could have jeopardized probably the biggest pay-per-view in AEW history. When you're there in London, this is your opening match.
Right.
I get why Tony Khan is upset. I don't believe that he's truly that upset with Jack Perry, just because if he was truly furious with him, you would have fired the guy.
True.
You would have sent a message right then and there. We're not going to tolerate this sort of behavior. You're gone. You violated your contract. You're fired. Punk's fired. Everybody's gone. Instead, Jungle Boy is over in New Japan, hopefully trying to ignite a spark, find some path to, you know, a way back into AEW. I don't think the goat mask is necessarily the way to do it, but at the very least, maybe he's gonna learn a new hold. He'll get his reset button. But Tony picks and chooses who he wants to be mad at when he wants to be mad at him. But if there's suddenly a cool factor with Jack Perry, he's gonna bring him back and try to find a way to make some money.
And I think there's the aspect, too, that you just mentioned. It's like if Tony Khan was mad at him, he would have fired him, like super mad at him. And the aspect, I think, that he's in New Japan and still signed under AEW, there's still a vote of confidence in what Perry's future can hold, too, in pro wrestling. So
But it's him doing stuff outside of his main focus. And Dom, you're someone who does stuff outside of your main focus here in Rumor and Innuendo. So where else can the fine folks catch you?
Sure, yes. I do Straight Talk with the Boss. Drop today, Magnum TA and Greg Gagne, episode 11. We cover Muhammad Ali getting inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. Greg Gagne shares some great stories. There's further information on how you can get those Remco figures that are really, really cool at a very, very decent price right now. Head to PowerTownWrestling.com, by the way, for that. But go
to plugging stuff for your other podcast and then plugging the plugs within your podcast. It's like Inception.
It is like impressive. Go to GagneandMagnum.com, subscribe, comment, like, share, do all that. But also go to RVDTV.com. That's where you can get the newest episode of One of a Kind with RVD. Me and Rob chop it up too about Muhammad Ali, Mike Tyson, a lot of good stuff on that one. And finally, Robert, tonight, if you're my push member or a top guy at adfreeshows.com, you can check out me and fellow dirt sheet writer Sean Ross Sapp. We're doing a top guy big interview with Sean Ross Sapp, so it should be a lot of fun. We're going to talk the aspect of wrestling journalism, cover a lot of ground in that. So go to adfreeshows.com, look into it, be my push member or top guy. Robert, what do you got going on, man?
I got my head spinning from all those plugs. You are really good at that. You can catch my other podcast, Wrestle Roast, with professional comedians Mike Lawrence, Scott Chaplin, and Dan St. Germain. You can also catch Dan's comedy special, Dance Fatty Dance, available on YouTube, 100% free. Well worth going and checking out. This show, 100% free, coming to you live every day at noon Eastern on the Podcast Heat X account. Podcast Heat is who makes this show possible, as well as the WWE Creative _ ISH X account, the Dominic D'Angelo X account, the SE Scoops X account, the Rumor and Innuendo X account, the Rumor and Innuendo YouTube page, and the Ad Free Shows YouTube page. We are not bumped by J-E-F-F, ha-ha, J-A-R-R-E-T-T. But if we are, you can catch us in audio format every single day on Spotify, on iTunes, and wherever else you get your podcasts. And we will humbly ask, take 20 seconds, pop open that podcast app from Apple, throw a 5-star review up there, and we will read some of those on Friday's show, something we like to do. And as a reminder, next Monday, Blue Meanie is going to be joining us live. It's going to be a blast. So on behalf of the awkwardly pointing Dominic D'Angelo, I'm Robert Karpolis. Best of luck in your future endeavors.
Don't be a spotlight junkie.